Welcome to the first solo podcast by Mitch Ping. I'm your host, Mitch Ping, and welcome to the Mitch Ping podcast. So this actually came about because I was doing a seminar. I had done the three seminars, and I was going to do the fourth seminar, and I had been recording the live seminars, right? So I just attach a Apple headphone microphone to my shirt, and I would just kind of let it play as I did the seminar. And that night, I guess I misplaced my microphone. I didn't know where it was, so I didn't record the live seminar. So I looked at it as a positive. And I was like, oh, well, if I didn't record it live, then I can just go back over the notes and be more clear and concise about stress. So let's get right into it. Today, we'll be talking about sort of the stress checklist, all right? So if you listen to my other podcasts, and I do have a lot of blog posts about stress, you'll realize that, you know, stress is bad, basically. So I've already spoken so much about, like, how stress is bad and it affects, you know, our energy and our ability to burn fat, build muscle, stay focused, have energy, live life, blah, blah, blah. Today, I'll talk about how, like, actual ways you can really reduce your stress. And I'm all about the minimum effective dose. So I don't want you to be spending 5 hours every day doing yoga and an hour a day doing meditation. You know, it's just not realistic, and reducing your stress or managing your stress should be a lot easier than meditating for 5 hours a day. So yeah, the solution to stress, it isn't trying to stop it. It should be to manage stress as best we can. So here is a basic checklist. I'll go from top to bottom. Now, I'm talking about, this is just like a standard person, or I don't know, this is a common person. Like, this order is going to change from person to person. So I'll just nail it off, right? So number one, movement, right? So movement would be the first thing to reduce your stress. Oh, really? Movement? That's interesting. Why is that? We'll get to that. Don't worry. So movement, and then nutrition. So nutrition is next. After the nutrition, it would be stress management. So that is, you know, your yoga and your meditation. After that, it's your sleep hygiene. So everything to do with sleep. And then it is your strength training, and then supplements. So supplements is very last. So that order is going to change from person to person. If someone already, like, moves a lot, then movement isn't going to be their number one priority. That might be down near the bottom. Same thing with the diet. If your diet is really good, then the diet's not going to be second. So that's where you can email me, and I'll be happy to sort of assess you and see what areas of your lifestyle can be improved. So movement, here we go. Let's get into it. Why is movement at the top of the list? Well, it's going to be the easiest to fix for the amount of time that it requires. It yields a great result for a minimum amount of effort. So minimum effective dose, there you go. So what the cardio, we'll talk about sort of cardio, right? So getting on a treadmill or an elliptical, or just going out for a brisk walk, getting your heart rate up between 130 and 150. So that's what I'm talking about, cardio, right? So the benefits of cardio are going to lower your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, increase your HRV, improve your lymphatic system, help with digestion, boost your mood, improve sleep, increase metabolism, which will make you burn fat, and much, much more. So just from doing 3 times a week of 30 minutes, heart rate between 130 and 150, you can get all of those benefits. That is insane. Okay, so that's why cardio is number one, and a lot of people neglect to do their cardio because it's not fun. And we'll get to some hacks about, like, what you can do to help with that. So it's not just cardio, it's movement in general. So we need to be moving more. Our society, our culture today is just sitting down. Like, I mean, I'm sitting down right now to record this, so I'll go for a 10-minute walk after this, don't worry. So if you have a job where you're sitting down for like 8 hours a day, you're probably not even getting 7,000 steps a day. So I recommend everyone get a Fitbit or a phone and sort of track your steps and aim for a minimum of 7,000 steps a day. The optimal, the best is 10,000 steps. So that's what I go for. I go for about 10,000 steps a day. And yeah, movement is amazing. So not just the cardio, but just movement throughout the entire day. Movement's going to help pump out nutrients to your body, and it's going to help clear out toxins as well. So it's, think of your cardio, it's going to increase your heart. Your heart is the pump to all the blood in your body, right? So little hacks you can do. Find a show that you like to watch on Netflix or YouTube and just watch that while you do your cardio. I don't know why there's a stigma about going in and watching a movie while you do cardio. Like, what's wrong with that? Just watch a movie while you do cardio. It's so easy. So easy. Do cardio on a day where you know you won't be moving as much, or you know you're going to be going out to eat. So the example I gave at the seminar was, I'm going out to eat for my grandma's 80th birthday. It's going to be a crazy night. We're going to have lots of food, have a good time, have some hot chips. I actually had a chicken parmy, which is delicious. But that's a lot of calories. So I don't want to not get a chicken parmy and not enjoy the night out with my family. So I'm going to get the parmy. But doing cardio on that day, so I did it in the morning, it's going to burn up extra calories. And I'm not tracking calories, how much I'm burning, how much I'm... Oh, I burnt 400 calories. That means I can have 400 extra calories. No. Don't worry about that. As long as you're doing your cardio on that day where you've eaten more calories, that's fine. Just that's my little hack. So do cardio on a day where you know you won't be moving as much, or a day where you know you're going to be going out to eat. Hack number three, go for as many 10-minute walks as you can. Like I was saying, I definitely need to go for a 10-minute walk after this. I've been sitting down for a while. So good time to go for 10-minute walks. First thing in the morning, before or after meals, before or after a workout, and before bed. They're all great times. So like I said before, movement will pump the heart, pump nutrients, clear up toxins. Next, nutrition. So your diet. What do you normally eat? I hate the word diet because it implies that it's not your lifestyle, right? It's a lifestyle. It's not a diet. So you've probably heard that one before. And nutrition is going to come before sleep, because the food you eat will actually have a pretty big impact on whether you can fall asleep or you can get a good quality sleep and yada, yada, yada. So that's why nutrition comes before the sleep for this random common person. So the first step to improving your nutrition, the easiest thing to do is just remove foods that can cause inflammation and have a negative impact with your relationship with food. So things like gluten, dairy, processed sugar, processed flour, processed food with preservatives. So think about how long is it sitting on that shelf in the supermarket? Has it come from China? Has it come from Japan? Has it come from Philippines? Has it come from Africa? Wherever it's come from, it's been loaded up with preservatives, and that's probably not optimal for your body. Your body has to go through processes to digest all of that, and we'll get more into that. But processed food, no good, remove it. Alcohol, the vegetable oils, and then things with your relationship with food. So binge eating, not very good. I mean, it's hard to say, oh, don't binge eat, but doing things slowly and not restricting yourself too much will help with the binge eating. So we don't want to binge eat. Drinking zero calorie drinks. So this is a tricky one to tell and argue with some people, because, oh, well, there's no calories. Why would I not need to limit them? I was listening to a Mind Pump podcast, and they were saying how when you have this zero calorie drink, it's giving you a bad relationship with food because you're associating this drink, this delicious drink, zero calorie drink with, oh, I can just, it tastes good. It's not worth a calorie. I can just drink it all day. Who cares? It's not worth anything. So then when you go to have ice cream or a cheat meal or strawberries or whatever you like, that is in your brain where, oh, it's not worth any calories. I'm just going to eat it. And what happens is you start wanting more. So I'm so used to having something really sweet that I'm craving more sweet things. Even though it's not calories, it's making me crave more sweeter things, which will in turn make me want more calories. But it's going to vary. If someone was eating every single one of these things on the list, like gluten, dairy, sugar, flour, things like that, I wouldn't be like, okay, don't have zero calorie drinks. So it's all about the person to person. So maybe if they want to lose a bit of extra weight and the only thing that they're doing on this list is having those zero calorie sugary drinks, I'll be like, hey, maybe try to take them out for a week. Anyway, that was a bit of a rabbit hole. The last thing on the list is drinking lots of caffeine. So that will also carry over to the sleep as well when we get to that. So a big thing with these bad, quote unquote, bad foods is that they're going to be different for each person. Like I was saying, if I could eat 100 peanuts, one person eats one peanut and they die. So it's a bit like that. Eggs might be good for you, but for someone else, they're going to be bad and make you shit yourself. The biggest question to ask yourself is how does it make you feel? So just like with the eggs, if you feel like you shit yourself every time you have eggs, then don't have eggs. So keep a food diary and track how you feel after each meal. So give or take about 2 hours after you eat, if you start to feel bloated or you start farting or you shit yourself, then you know, that's probably not a good food. So when I have a cheat meal, I know if I don't do everything right, or actually for me, when I have dairy stuff, I notice like within 10 minutes of drinking or eating it, I can't breathe as very well. Like I just, my nose just like swells up from inflammation. I just can't breathe as properly. So imagine if I have a big thing of ice cream before I go to bed at night. I'm not going to be able to breathe as efficiently through my nose and blah, blah, blah. It's not good. So just listen to how your body feels. It's also crucial to note that it depends where your current nutrition is at and where you can start with this large list of foods to remove. So like I was saying before, if someone's doing everything on that list and I tell them to remove the zero calorie drinks, that's not going to be my first priority. My first priority would be if they're drinking a lot of alcohol, that's definitely number one. If they're having a lot of vegetable oils that cause inflammation, things like sunflower oil, vegetable oil, sesame oil, all of that can cause inflammation. I want to remove that. So I don't have a problem if they're having vegetable oil every day, like let's remove that, but they can keep eating gluten. Like it's not a big deal. Just slowly, it's a lifestyle. It's not a diet. We're going to slowly take things out. So yeah, it depends where your current nutrition is at. And then you slowly just minus things out. So poor nutrition. So all of those things that I listed before, they're probably going to lead to a leaky gut. So leaky gut is when food can actually leak into your bloodstream from your gut. So if chunks of our food, bugs, toxins can get into our body, then it can create food sensitivities, stress, and inflammation. So no, that's not good. Stress and inflammation cause the rest of our body's systems, like the cardiovascular, the muscular, the metabolic, the gonadal, the thyroid, and the brain systems to become less efficient. So you put this shit in your body, vegetable oils, gluten, if you're binge eating, you're having gluten and processed sugar every day, your gut is going to get leaky. It's going to give you that bloating. When you're bloated, that's inflammation, okay? If that's happening chronically, that's going to systemically affect the rest of your body. So your heart's not going to pump as well. So the toxins won't clear. Your muscular system won't be able to store as much energy. You'll be more sensitive to glucose, right? So sugar, you won't be able to use energy. Your metabolism will slow down. You won't produce sex hormones. You'll stop growing hair. And you'll get brain fog. So yeah, remove that shit from your diet. It's not good. Okay, once you've removed all of those things that are having that negative impact on your food, you can replace them with much better options, right? Such as drinking lots of filtered water, having high quality protein serves about 3 times a day minimum, eating a wide variety of proteins, fats, and carbs. And see my post about that here. Oh, I think I was going to link something. Anyway, next thing, vegetables with every meal. A lot of vegetables, fiber, micronutrients, electrolytes, things that our body needs. And last thing is to have a good balance of fats, protein, and carbs. So I like to use the analogy of an outfit. You wouldn't leave the house wearing 2 pairs of shoes and 1 shirt. Like, where's your pants, bro? Come on, go be civil here. You want to have an even amount of fats, proteins, and carbs with every meal. So you wouldn't have 2 sources of fats and just 1 carb source, right? Which is pretty much every restaurant you eat out ever. It's just all fats and carbs. That's what makes things taste good. So that's why protein's big as well. You want protein, carbs, and fats, like a good balance. Not 2 proteins, not 2 carbs, and 1 fats, and no proteins. You want a good balance. Yeah, good balance. So to help restore that healthy gut, maybe you have been eating gluten and dairy and you do notice you get the shits every time you have dairy. And you're just like, oh, well, I like it. It tastes good, but I get the shits. Who cares? If that's been happening over a long time, we want to help rebuild that gut lining. So the first step would be to remove the dairy and all those other things. And then you can introduce things like a bone broth or a collagen protein that will help rebuild the gut lining inside you. So you can start soaking up more nutrients. Also, increasing your time in the sun for more vitamin D will also help that process of helping rebuild the lining of the gut wall. And also having some seafood, so getting in your omega-3s. If you don't like fish, just supplement with a high-quality fish oil. Source Naturals fish oil is great. Little hacks you can use for your nutrition. So drinking 1 liter of water like first thing in the morning, like just chug it. Just don't think about it. Wake up, chug your water. That will also carry over to a lot of other things that we'll talk about later, so like including your sleep. Next thing would be to plan every day to eat at least 3 good meals with a good serving of protein and vegetables. So what I mean by this plan is if you know you have a 12-hour shift tomorrow and you leave home in the morning, you go to work and there's not going to be any food and then you get home at bloody 8 p.m. Okay, you need to have 3 good meals ready to go. Don't give me this excuse of, oh, I don't have time, there's no good options. Okay, make time, make options. There's at least 1 hour in your entire week that you can sit down or stay in the kitchen and make like a bunch of meals. It's not hard, okay? Just, you need to prioritize making those meals because I know I'm working all day tomorrow, so I'm going to pack my lunches and get my protein in. The last hack is balance and variety. So don't have chicken, and even though I was just saying meal prep, don't make every single meal prep for the next 10 years of your life chicken and broccoli. So chicken and broccoli aren't healthy when you have them non-stop. So maybe that can actually be the title of the podcast, Chicken and Broccoli Aren't Healthy. That's a bit of a mouthful. Let me know in the comments. But yeah, balance of variety. So instead of your chicken, have red meat. Instead of red meat, have pork, have lamb, have turkey. Whatever floats your boat. As long as it's a good protein source, I'm happy. And that's what matters. So I've got a little balance sheet here. So protein balance. You want it in quarters. So seafood, red meat, white meat, and then the last quarter will be eggs and collagen protein and just miscellaneous, you know, random bits and bobs of protein that you get. The carb balance. You want starchier carbs, so things like rice, potato, quinoa. Other carbs are fine, but try and stick mostly with those. Those starchy carbs can help with your stool, with your poops, thicken them up. Fat balance. You want this in quarters as well. So seafood, red meat, avocado, and then the last quarter is seeds, nuts, butter, and coconut oil. So yeah, that's some good fat balance for ya. Stress management techniques. Now you would think that this would be number one at reducing stress. Probably. Yeah, I mean, for most people, if they're already having a good diet and they go to the gym, they do some cardio, then yeah, stress management techniques is probably going to be number one. And this is this is what I love. I've got a lot of a lot of words here about stress management techniques, and there will be another blog about this coming out soon. Stress management techniques. It's just like everything else. It's going to depend on person to person. And the best thing, like my biggest recommendation to reduce your stress, is to meditate. So meditation is like doing bicep curls for your mind. Studies, like meditation is one of the most researched, studied things. Like it's proven. Like there's no dispute about if meditation is actually good. So studies show it improves the part in your brain called the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala. So your emotional control center, your concentration, your awareness, and all of your decision making, these things improve. They've done scans where the gray matter in your prefrontal cortex like gets more gray, or yeah, it works. I'm not scientific-y, but it works. And from my personal experience, meditation has single-handedly had the biggest impact on my life. And that's no joke. I've always struggled with focusing, and that's why it's a big part of my Instagram posts at the moment. Like, I really want to get across that I was that person that couldn't concentrate, couldn't sit down, like, I needed to be constantly stimulated. I'd be driving somewhere. I'd be in the shower. I'd be making breakfast. I'd be going for a walk. And I constantly needed to be looking at my phone, listening to a podcast, whatever it is. I just constantly needed something. And it just sapped my focus. I had no focus. I never got things done. And ever since, you know, 10 minutes meditation in the morning, it just really helped me stay focused. So that is a whole nother, I can do a whole other podcast just on meditation, but yeah. Okay, well, with that being said about all the benefits of meditation, some people really just struggle being alone with their thoughts. Maybe if you have PTSD or, I don't know, some like girlfriend broke up with you, or I don't know, family troubles, and you just can't be alone with your thoughts. That's fine. And I'm not judging you. I'm just observing. That's another meditation thing. Anyway, so instead of doing the meditation, you can do breathing drills. Breathing drills are really simple. You can do something called box breathing, where you breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold for 4 seconds, and you exhale for 4 seconds. So an equal amount of in, hold, out, hold. And this can actually, there's research on this as well that shows it can reduce your blood pressure and heart rate and yada, yada, yada. It's good for you. Now, if you can't do the breathing drills, then you can do other things like walking. So this would probably be my first recommendation if you struggle to shut your monkey mind off, then go for a walk with a podcast on. So maybe you're listening to this podcast right now and you're just chilling out. So it's not ideal because you're not clearing your mind and you're not getting that focus benefit from it, but it's still very calming to your nervous system. And if you're listening to a podcast about I don't know. I like to listen to comedy podcasts and gaming podcasts and things like that. And that really takes my mind off of work, because I'm constantly listening to like ways to improve my business, things about health. And, you know, it's good to have a break from that sometimes. And that's what my meditation is. And that's what walking can be for you, is just go for a walk, put your headphones on and chill out. Now, there's a huge list of other things that you can do. So these include journaling, drawing, coloring in. You can actually get adult coloring in books. I recommend that a lot. Walking, like I said, singing, la la la, chanting, ho ho ho, dancing. I don't know how to say that over a podcast. Cold exposure, ooh, playing with family and pets, meow. Massage. Oh, I love massage. I'm doing my diploma of remedial massage at the moment, so that is awesome. Look forward to that. Being in sunlight, being in nature, things are, so that's some overlap too. So being in the sun, so get some vitamin D for your gut. Earthing, so that's when you get your bare toes in the grass or the sand. I actually get really weird looks when I'm walking around the park barefoot. I actually get a lot of weird looks for that. I don't care though, because I'm getting stress relief benefits. Praying, also good. Tai Chi circles. Doing circles. Qigong and yoga. Yoga's actually a great one too. Flow with Addy on YouTube. Great one. So walking, I already spoke about that. Really calming for the nervous system. But the most important thing to do is to find something you can create a habit out of. So there's no point in doing yoga with Flow with Addy if you just hate the sound of Addy's voice. That's fine. I'm not judging. Just don't do it. So go for a walk instead. Go do meditation instead. I'm not, even though I love meditation a lot, that doesn't mean it's my only form of stress management. I love going for walks too. I love doing yoga, not so much at the moment. I've kind of gone off the yoga just for a bit. I will go back to it, but I've just been really enjoying meditation at the moment. So let it vary. Have a few things on the go. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And getting into that flow state of mind is also a great way to reduce your stress. So you know when you're, for me, a really good example is just playing video games. You're playing video games and you look at the time, you're like, holy Jesus, I've spent the last 16 hours playing Call of Duty Double XP Nuketown. Well, actually, the longest I've ever played with Connor Williams was Double XP Nuketown for, I think we did 36 hours straight. So those were my glory days. Not anymore. Anyway, find that thing that you can do for 36 hours straight and it feels like 1 hour. You're like, oh my God, where did the time go? My brain was just in that flow state. So good things for that are playing video games, like I said, playing an instrument, listening to music, reading, juggling, rock climbing, dancing, oh, dancing again, photography, knitting. That's actually a personal favorite of mine. Thanks for getting me into that, Nana. If anyone wants a personalized knitted jumper, I'd be happy to help you out. Meditate. Here's some hacks, right? So meditate or do breathing drills for 10 minutes every morning. So I find my focus is amazing if I've got that first 10 minutes of the day where I just meditate. Next, use a 1-to-1 ratio of stressful activities to restful activities. You get that? A stressful activity to restful activity. So if you run for 60 minutes, then do yoga for 60 minutes. Now, it doesn't have to be exact like 1-to-1. You could run for 60 minutes, read for 10 minutes, dance for 10 minutes, do yoga for 10 minutes, meditate for 10 minutes. Blah, 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 and do something else for 20 minutes. So you get what I mean. Just make sure it all evens out at the end of the week or the end of the day. And then the last hack, like I said, is get into your flow state. Find that hobby. Find that thing that you love. Next, sleep hygiene. So sleep hygiene, that's a weird one. I've heard of sleep routine or whatever it is. sleep hygiene is actually going to be everything. Now, I've really broken this one down into a good checklist, into four things. So we'll get to that in a sec. But I want to tell you that sleep is broken down into three main areas. You've got your quality, your quantity, and your consistency. So quality, are you waking up during the night? Do you wake up with energy? Quantity, are you getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night? Don't be one of those people that says, I work fine on 6 hours of sleep. I'm going to sleep when I'm dead. Ha ha ha. I'm just hustling. I'm grinding all the time. I get 6 hours of sleep. Just don't, please, because you're just doing yourself an injustice. Get that 7 to 9 hours of sleep. The next thing is the consistency. This is actually something that I kind of struggle with, because I like going to bed early, but then I go to bed early one night and then the next night it's different. And yeah, so that's a big thing for me. Consistent sleep and wake times. So number one on the checklist is the morning routine. That's weird. Start in the morning for go to bed at night. Well, actually, your cortisol level, right? So it should spike in the morning, and then by the time you get to night, it should be down. So cortisol is just basically your energy. You should have a lot of energy in the morning, and then at night you should feel sleepy. A lot of people have the opposite, where they wake up with no energy, and then by the end of the night they have lots and lots of energy. They're wired, but they're tired. So let's fix that. How do we fix that? Well, step A, get in the sun for at least 10 minutes, ideally within the first 2 hours of sunrise. You get a lot of these UV rays, whatever they're called, from the sun into your eye. That then tells your brain, hey, it's morning, I'm getting these morning sunlight rays into my eyes, I'm going to start like getting all the processes ready for the day. It's the morning. B, drink a glass of water first thing in the morning. This is going to stimulate your liver, your kidneys, everything to start working as well. So that's more your peripheral clock. C, exercise. Go for a brisk walk or do 10 burpees. Get your heart rate up. So that's going to tell your body, hey, it's the morning. Time to wake up. Do some exercise. Let's go. Let's go. Let's start pumping some nutrients around the body. Let's clear out the toxins. D, well, number four, cold exposure. So cold, have you heard of that thing where you just do cold showers every morning? Those crazy people? Yeah, try it out. It can boost your testosterone as well, and help with your white fat to brown fat ratio. It's, yeah, kind of interesting. Anyway, the last one would be to meditate for 10 minutes. So there is a lot of overlap with some of these things. So the nutrition, drinking a glass of water in the morning, getting sunlight, cold exposure, and meditation are all good things for that stress management. So this morning routine can set you up for a really good day. If you meditate in the morning, not only are you going to be able to fall asleep better at night, but you're going to be able to focus more during the day. You're going to be able to give other people a better version of yourself. And yeah, who doesn't want to help everyone out during the day and just be the best they can? This is another rabbit hole, but I find if I'm, and surely other people out there, when I haven't slept well, and someone says hello to me, I am less inclined. I'm less inclined to give them a good, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I feel great. How are you? If anyone knows me at work and they ask how I am, I'm always great. Like, always. I don't think I've ever said, oh, yeah, okay. I'm always great. Oh, amazing. Yeah. It might be, oh, yeah, amazing. Or that's if I haven't had a good sleep. If I've had a good sleep, then I'm just like, yeah, amazing. And it really perks them up. I like doing that. Anyway, that was the rabbit hole. So number two of this four things is your daily habits. So big things that you do during the day that might affect how you get to sleep. So option A, finish your caffeine before noon. So don't do that shit where you have six coffees a day, bro. Come on. Put the coffee down. Stop it. Stop it. Get it out. Stop it. B, try and train in the morning, not before bed at night. So people who do HIIT training at night, this can often affect their sleep because their brain's wired. I don't know if any of you have gone for a run at night and then tried to sleep, but for me at least, it just doesn't work. So I really like training in the mornings. C, plan your night's sleep to go to bed no later than 10 p.m. and get minimum 7 hours sleep. So your body, your brain actually recovers or regenerates, or the quality of your sleep is going to be much greater between 10 and like 1 a.m. So that's where we get a lot of that good recovery in, because something to do with the moon's aligning and stars. I don't know. It's just good to get to sleep before the sun goes down. Well, just after the sun gets down. So, I mean, 10 p.m. is a good time. Wouldn't want it be any later than that. D, use night shift on your phone, so when it goes orange, and use programs like Flux or Redshift on your computer to minimize that blue light. Now, I will link a blue light podcast in the show notes if you would like. And yeah, listen to a podcast on blue light and how it's messing you up. I don't know why I keep saying option. E on the list. 2E, I should say that. Use blue light blocking glasses when the sun goes down. So if you do know me, if you've seen me on my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, my YouTube, my whatever it is, I've got those weird looking glasses on. Now, I'm not just trying to look like Bono or Elton John. I'm actually helping my eyes, and I don't want my brain to be stimulated after the sun's gone down, because I want to be able to fall asleep and get a good quality sleep. 2F, earth for 10 minutes a day. Now, this one's really interesting. Just like I was saying about the stress management, earthing, getting your bare feet in the ground, sand, grass, it's going to really help with that sleep. And I've got a scientific study linked with that one as well. Okay, 3, sleep routine, right? So this is the good stuff here. This is what I really like, is having a good sleep routine. So 3A, turn off all screens 60 to 90 minutes before bed. So this is huge. Everyone wants to watch TV, including me. Everyone wants to watch TV or YouTube or reply to emails like just before bed. But it's such a hard habit to kick. But once you kick it, you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to be able to fall asleep easier. 3B, finish eating your dinner 90 to 120 minutes before bed. So this basically just tells your body, hey, I'm not digesting food anymore. It's time to recover. 3C, do stress management techniques in this 60 to 90 minutes before bed. So you've taken out watching TV and you've put in meditation, yoga, walking, or foam rolling. So yeah, do that instead of the TV. 3D, this is my favorite. Don't wear any clothes to bed, or wear loose-fitting clothes to bed. And then what you can do is go to the toilet during the middle of the night and scare your family with your naked body, which I do often. In a bad way? I don't know. Good way? It scares them. They're like, oh my God. Optimize your bedroom. That's going to be number 4. So 4A, have the temperature in your room 17 to 20 degrees Celsius. So this is pretty cold. You should think back to caveman days. From an evolutionary perspective, you want to be sleeping in a cold, dark cave with blankets on top of you. I don't know whether blankets just feel good. Let's just say that we've adapted to using warm, comfy blankets, because I ain't not going to sleep with a comfy blanket. Anyway, have a cold room. B, use blackout blinds. So just like a caveman in a cave, no light. Don't let any light come in. Our light Light and sound, we are very, very, very sensitive to. So be careful of that. I don't think I have in here, but use earplugs as well. 4C, use a lavender oil or another calming essential oil that you like on your pillow or under your nose. This is one of my favorites too. I've been doing this recently. 4D, use a salt lamp or candles for lighting. So don't use your bright LED bedroom light. Try to keep that off and use a salt lamp or candles instead. 4E, have an English ivy plant in your room. I don't know specifically why English ivy, but it will help with the oxygen and yeah, plants are good. Cool. 4F, you can use brain waves to help you fall asleep. Oh my God. So this is really crazy. If you go on the App Store and you just type up binaural beats, or you can get a free trial from something called Brain FM, and you just play it and it plays like a doop, and that sound tells your brain to calm down or to speed up or to focus, or there's a whole bunch of different settings. Just before recording this podcast, I've got this YouTube clip on saying, super intelligence, memory, music, improve focus and concentration with binaural beats, focus music. And I guess it works. I don't know. I didn't really find... I mean, it's just cool to... It really works. Like, just try it. Just try it. Okay, so to recap those four things, right? So morning routine, daily habits, sleep routine, and optimize your bedroom. Do those four things, go through the things I've listed, and, you know, start ticking the boxes. Be like a little game, you know. Get your room blackout blinds, turn off your screens, don't have caffeine, and exercise in the morning. You know, just pick one thing from each section and start slow. It's a lifestyle. It's not a diet, even though we're talking about your sleep. It's a lifestyle. So, like I was saying, with a couple of those things, your circadian rhythm, so your sleep cycle, is going to run off two clocks. You have your peripheral and your brain. So your peripheral clock is anything except your brain, right? So your cardiovascular, your metabolic, your endocrine, immune, reproductive systems are all running on this peripheral clock. So if you go for a run and you have a large meal, so preferably at the same time, you'd be running while you're eating, because everyone does that, then you're telling your body to keep running all of these systems, and it's not time to go to sleep yet. It's time to run, and it's time to eat. Yeah, so don't run and eat before bed. So if you're watching TV, scrolling through Instagram, trimming your toenails, and catching up on work emails, we're getting a lot of stimulation for the brain here, and that's not good. So watching TV and all that is stimulating your brain. And when you're running and eating, you're stimulating your digestive system and your cardiovascular systems, your metabolic, your endocrine, things like that. So we want to start cooling these systems down at night. Think about your car. We don't leave the car running all night. We cool the car, we get into the driveway, we turn the car off, and then the engine starts cooling down, right? So think of your body like that. We don't want to be running all the time and putting our foot down on the gas all day. We want to, hey, just chill out, calm down, get some sleep. So little hacks you can do, like I was talking about, you don't want to change everything about your sleep just yet. So track what you're doing. And once you've seen what you're doing, maybe you're not doing any of the things I listed above. Oof, that would be pretty bad. But there's good news. If you're not doing any of that, then we know there's huge improvement that can be made for your sleep. So go through all those things and slowly start adding them. Cool. So find something you love to do before bed. So there was a time I loved doing yoga before bed. So maybe you can journal, you can meditate, you can read. Reading is a big one too before bed. Is great. Go for a 10-minute walk in the morning. This is such bang for buck, right? So you're getting exercise, you're getting sunlight, you're getting cold exposure, you're setting your circadian rhythm, you're relaxing, and most importantly, you're getting movement in for the day. You're working towards those 7,000 steps. All right, so yeah, sleep, that's a great one. Two more topics to go. Hang in there, guys, hang in there. Strength training, correct? Strength training can also be used to reduce stress. Oh my God, Mitch, how is strength training going to help me reduce stress? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked because I can answer that question. Strength training and movement, they're going to overlap. So like I was saying, movement's really important. It's like a pump that pumps out nutrients, it clears out toxins, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, strength training is movement. So there's a bit of a overlap there. But anyway, a big reason as to why stress is on the rise is because our society is becoming more in love with our technology and working behind a desk. This is what I was talking about at the start. People who sit behind a desk all day, they're just not moving. And what happens when we're not moving is all the muscles of the neck, the mid-back, the lower back, the glutes, the hamstrings, they all start to atrophy. So they just start getting weak. And it leaves our body open to vulnerabilities such as poor breathing, which I can do a podcast on, lower back pain, headaches, tight hips, and more. So we all know how tight and stiff we feel after sitting at a desk for a long time. So it's just those muscles just switch off and we're not using them. If we don't use the muscles, you lose it. Ha ha. That's right, kids. So if you constantly suffer from headaches or lower back pain and your solution is to take something like Panadol to help it, this is just a Band-Aid solution. This is like when you go to the doctor, oh, I'm sick, and they give you some flu medicine, and oh, I'm better now. That flu medicine didn't deal with the root cause. Maybe you're not sleeping, your nutrition's bad, you're not moving. That the doctor doesn't prescribe you to sleep more, right? They just give you some flu medication. So this is like having Panadol for a headache or a lower back pain. It's not dealing with the root cause. So yeah, deal with the root cause. That's what I try and do. So strength training can address the root cause of this issue. So say if you're getting headaches and you start doing some weird neck flexor drills, you can help strengthen those neck muscles that are never worked and you can stop getting headaches. Same with your lower back pain, tight hips, things like that. If we strengthen the weak muscles, then we can get you more flexible and get you moving better. So things that you can do to help is get an experienced personal trainer. So just like myself, you can email me. I will get back to you for free. Any question you want, I'll help you out. And if you have another personal trainer like Georgia or Laura or Henry or Taya or whatever trainer, they'll assess you and they'll be like, okay, you have rounded shoulders, you're all fucked up, and you need help. I mean, hopefully they don't say that to you, but if you have rounded shoulders, then there's a whole bunch of tightness and weakness that's going on, and they'll prescribe you with a program to strengthen these muscles. So a good program will help you also improve coordination, boost energy, reduce the risk of injury, reduce pain, help you look better, feel better, and sleep better. So there's so many benefits to strength training. Like strength training done right can have huge, huge, huge amounts of benefits. And I mean, that's the reason I started lifting weights. It wasn't to reduce stress. I mean, I guess it was in a way. I just wasn't confident. I wanted to have that body that girls would admire. So I mean, that would be more of an origin story of why I started lifting, but I just wanted more attention from girls. So lifting weights, putting on muscle, little did I know, it was actually helping me get more energy, and the way I looked in the mirror boosted my confidence. Like, it's simple. Like, humans are vain, so I don't think that's a bad thing to say. I want to lift weights to look good. Like, what's wrong with that? Looking good is going to help you reduce stress. So yeah, doing high intensity cardio, it might make you feel better, but if you're not following a progressive overload sort of technique, then you might be causing more harm than good. So If you do it constantly, like anything else, things will start to break down. We want to do things in moderation. So, hacks to get you strong and looking better and blah, blah, blah. Get a good program that focuses on progressive overload, opening up tight muscles, strengthening weak muscles, and improving coordination. So, I really liked one of Eugene Teo's posts, or I don't know, one time he said, maybe it was a YouTube video, but he said, you should always leave the gym feeling better than when you walked in. And I love that saying. You know, when you just have an awesome workout, you just feel good leaving the gym. You feel opened up and not as tired. And yeah, it's great. That's how you should feel leaving the gym. So focus on your technique. Come into the gym to practice the technique, not to kill yourself. And number three, cool down from your workout. This is, oh my God, no one cools down from their workout. We do a crazy workout and then we just leave and go home. Like, come on, do some stretching, meditate, do some other stress management techniques right after your workout, and this will just lower stress hormones and increase your overall recovery. Okay, last thing. This will be really quick, but it's just supplements. So a lot of people will think that supplements are the end all be all. They'll fix all of your problems. Maybe a functional medicine doctor will just give you like a whole bag of supplements and be like, yeah, this will fix all your problems. Yeah, go for it. It's not, like I was saying before, it's not dealing with that root cause. So we want to deal with the root cause here and help with the nutrition, the movement, the sleep routine, stress management techniques, the strength training. So once you've done all five of those things, then we can start to look at supplements. So supplements that you can use are a multivitamin, betaine, HCL, ALA, magnesium, acetyl L-carnitine, adaptogens, and taurine. These are just some little basic, like there's a million other supplements you can take, obviously. But we'll go down the list again. So the multivitamin, because if you're struggling to eat vegetables and fruit during the day, then you're not getting essential micronutrients and minerals to help keep you hydrated. So that's a big thing, the hydration. So if you're not having these vegetables and you're not getting the essential electrolytes, potassium, magnesium, and salt and whatever, then you can't absorb the water properly. So that's huge. Have a multivitamin if you're not eating any vegetables, like 100%. I mean, if you really hate vegetables, then I guess you have to. But ideally, everyone would be having vegetables. The next thing is called betaine HCL. So this is hydrochloric acid. Like, it's the stuff that helps you digest the food. So if you're getting heartburn, it's not because there's not enough. No, it's not because there's too much HCL, it's because there's not enough. So we want to increase the HCL to digest the food. Next is ALA, alpha lipoic acid, I think. Let me Google that real quick. Oh, it doesn't even come up. I don't know. ALA, whatever. It lowers blood glucose and can help with inflammation. Magnesium. So this is magnesium chelate before bed. It can help you sleep. But any of the other magnesiums that end with TE, so citrate and glycinate, can help with cramping, headaches, give you more energy, and help with the function of your nervous system. Acetyl L-carnitine can help you use fat for energy more efficiently. So it can also help girls get their period back as well. Acetyl L-carnitine, good one. Adaptogens, so these are like the main ones for stress, adaptogens. So adaptogens are herbal pharmaceuticals that, I mean, a lot of Eastern medicine users use it. It's big in like Eastern medicine. So different adaptogens will do different things. So my favorites Ashwagandha, valerian root, reishi, and cordyceps. So ashwagandha and valerian, like, kind of chill you out. The reishi mushroom is for your immune system. So if any of my clients ever get sick, I tell them to take the reishi mushroom. And my favorite for performance lifting weights is called cordyceps mushroom powder. So, I mean, you can just Google more adaptogens and see what you like. I used to take a ginseng or rhodiola? One of them. But one of them, I think it was ginseng? That made me, like, sleepy, which was really weird. So I'd take that before bed. Anyway, there's a ton of different adaptogens. You can also get an adaptogen complex. So Thorn and ATP, really high-quality companies, make them. So they're called Phytogen by Thorn and Court RX by ATP. And then the last, like, little thing, it's really cheap, is taurine. So taurine's in energy drinks. That doesn't mean energy drinks are good. It just means that taurine is, like, a good supplement because it's going to help rebalance your electrolytes and calm your nervous system. So, and it's really cheap too. So, hacks for your supplements. Don't try and fix your stress with supplements. Do what I said before. Focus on those other five things. If you've done all those five things, then yeah, use one or two supplements that can complement your lifestyle or fill in any gaps. Adaptogens are for stress, multivitamins, greens for gut health and hydration, and also detoxification, and acetyl L-carnitine if you just want to try and see if it gives you more energy. So that's it. That's the six things that you can do to reduce your stress. And I feel like I haven't even had any caffeine today. But I really feel like I was going a million miles an hour, and it's kind of crazy that I've just been sitting here talking to myself for 56 minutes. but thanks for listening. I mean, a little summary as well is, instead of trying to focus on doing, like, just cardio or just doing tons of supplements, like, try and do a little bit from each thing. So say you're doing everything except the cardio. Before you add in more time and effort into your nutrition, just add in some cardio because you'll probably get some benefits. It's that minimum effective dose. Like, what's the smallest thing I can do to get the largest, like, return on investment? If you have any questions at all, please, please, please message me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or my website or my email at mitchelljping@outlook.com. And yeah, let me know what you think, and hopefully I can do more of these little solo podcast things. And yeah, thank you for listening.